The Doom Buggies podcast is sponsored by MEI Mouse Fan Travel. Get a no-obligation quote for any of your Disney travel needs at mousefantravel.com.
You're listening to the Doom Buggy Spook Show for Friday, November 13, 2020.
Welcome, podcast listeners. Keep your ears inside your headphones at all times and join me for this swinging wake.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to another episode of the Doom Buggies podcast. My name is Jeff Bam. I am the founder of DoomBuggies.com and the host of your show, along with my co-host, Julia. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Welcome. You are here. It's Turkey Month, which is very exciting. We at Doom Buggies have a lot to be grateful for, and we are grateful that you are here listening to us tonight, hopefully keeping out of the stormy weather. I don't know if it's stormy. Is it storming weather where you are right now, Julia?
It rained for about 5 minutes this afternoon, but I'm hearing
where
you were was like hail.
That was horrible. It was hailing and dark. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon and like evening dark. It was very, very fierce storms, but it's kind of eased up for the night, so that's nice. So we are here on a dark and stormy night, so to speak, to talk to you all about the Haunted Mansion, right? So we're going to have a little bit of news for you tonight. We're going to rejoin our conversation about the architecture of the Haunted Mansion for those of you who are Haunted Mansion nerds and need to know everything about the history of the Haunted Mansion. But before that, we are going to start with
saying happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th. That's right. It is Friday the 13th. November is one of those. I don't know if we had very many Friday the 13ths this year, but for sure November is a Friday the 13th.
There was one in March. And the only reason I remember that is because it was the last day I worked before we shut down.
Yeah, that was a very appropriate Friday the 13th in March. That was pretty much when the whole world started to shut down. But we don't need to think about that right now. Let's try to think about more happy, upbeat things like the Haunted Mansion. Yeah. So on this Friday the 13th, we're going to start our episode off with another Doom Buggies podcast, Tea Party.
Grim Grinning Ghosts come out to socialize.
All right, Julia, let's talk some tea. So what should we talk about tonight?
Let's talk about everybody's favorite or not so favorite holiday overlay that nobody gets to ride this year called the Haunted Mansion Holiday.
That's actually a good topic because this is the month that last month it would have opened, but you know, it would have been wrapping up soon as Halloween is over at Disneyland. Everything there switches like immediately the next day to Christmas time or holiday time. So Haunted Mansion Holiday would have been in full swing right now. Of course, nothing is in full swing at Disneyland this year. So but let's talk. Yeah, it's a good time to talk about it. Reminisce about years past. You know, the last time the Haunted Mansion was open, it was the Halloween overlay was in place because they closed after they shut that down for a renovation, and it never reopened. The park closed before the Haunted Mansion's renovation was complete. So let's talk about that. You're right, Julia. You said a lot of people, it's not their favorite overlay, but yet I think overall as a Disneyland population, I think more people probably love the Haunted Mansion Holiday overlay as something they can do than the number of people that wish it never was in place. Yeah. So it's interesting, right? Let's share our own feelings about the Haunted Mansion Holiday. I'd like to start with you. So what's your impression? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Are you in between?
I love it. I look at it completely separate from the Haunted Mansion. I can understand people's gripes with it, but I think it is really well done. I think it's beautiful. I like, and I'm talking from the perspective of being an annual pass holder and go fairly frequently. So typically in a normal year, I would have many chances to ride it in both of its iterations. But I really like it. And I'm a big Nightmare Before Christmas fan to begin with. So,
yeah. Well, that always helps. Yeah. I really like it too. I would have to say that I am a probably a Haunted Mansion fan of the original Haunted Mansion more than the Haunted Mansion Holiday Overlay, but I think that's because I just really I like the Nightmare Before Christmas. I kind of wish it had its own special thing that was, you know, suited just for that, that movie, yeah. An attraction just for that movie. But, you know, as a temporary thing that doesn't impact the Haunted Mansion itself at all, you know, once they put it in and then take it out, I have to say I really like that idea that they can change Disneyland attractions almost completely, but then, you know, it goes away like it was never there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best of both worlds, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like you have something new, but then you can go back to the other thing, and you know, both things are positives. It's a good way to use space in the park. Mm-hmm. You know, when they started doing that to Small World,
right?
You know, that was kind of a big deal. Like all of a sudden, people were riding Small World, you know, over and over again because mm-hmm. they really loved what Steve Davidson had done with the Small World Holiday. So when he came to the Haunted Mansion and said, like, well, let's do something similar, you know, it was really an amazing thing that people really at first accepted. I mean, this kind of kickback from the Haunted Mansion fans of, I wish it was, you know, Haunted Mansion more and not so much holiday stuff. I kind of understand it, but that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the big voice at first. Everyone was pretty much, you know, sold on the idea of mixing the Nightmare Before Christmas and the Haunted Mansion, the two genres together, because they really do work very well thematically.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
it really is a good thematic mix. What are your thoughts about the general mood of the, you know, it is a lot more of a jovial mood. What are your thoughts about that in comparison with the regular Haunted Mansion attraction?
Like I said, I really like it. I think Spooky and Christmas are very good friends. So I like the mashup of the two holidays together quite a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I can. I think that's true. You know, there's kind of an interesting story behind the whole Haunted Mansion holiday. And we did a big episode on it. I did a few years ago on this podcast. If you go back to the early episodes, you can find a big giant episode about the making of the Haunted Mansion holiday. I mean, there was some intrigue, a little bit of, you know, back and forth once the attraction was, you know, started. For one thing, Imagineering was not originally part of the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay. It was more of a Disneyland Entertainment kind of a production, and Steve Davidson, of course, he's now with Imagineering, or I'm not sure who's working at Disneyland now these days, but I mean, he became a part of Imagineering after this, but when he was putting together the Haunted Mansion holiday, he wasn't. So there's a lot of interesting things about what happened, you know, as far as Tim Burton's involvement and how he first perceived Disneyland's use of his characters and in the music. You know, they had a whole different music score the first year that had nothing to do with Danny Elfman. So there's some interesting things that went on behind the scenes, which makes it kind of an interesting story to kind of learn about. Mm-hmm. And you can find out most of these things you can learn about if you Google around online. Even if you check doombuggies.com, you know, most of the story is there. But, you know, overall, I think Haunted Mansion fans have kind of settled on, well, it's a good thing. It's a cool overlay. Most of them, I think, wish that, you know, it didn't come before Halloween, because even though Jack Skellington is from Halloween Town, it's really the Christmas story that the Haunted Mansion tells. And, you know, it's kind of weird to have this Christmas attraction in Disneyland starting in September when Halloween is coming, right? A lot of Haunted Mansion fans wish, why could they make the Haunted Mansion, you know, decked out for Halloween first and then go over to Haunted Mansion Holiday? Of course, that would be almost impossible. It takes them quite a while to install this holiday overlay, so it would be very difficult to go from Halloween, you know, and have time to turn it around and become a holiday, you know, the holiday overlay. So you can understand why they don't do that, but some Haunted Mansion fans just kind of wish they would. That's generally what I hear from most of the diehard Haunted Mansion fans these days. Right. Very few of them say like they just don't like it, though. It's not especially scary. It's very light with the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay. Even the attic has changed with Constance. It's pretty light in there now, too.
And they just turn her audio off, right? Like, she's still doing her thing, but you can't hear her anymore.
Well, they really load up the attic pretty well. I mean, you know, the snake and the presence pretty much fill up the whole place. But you know, generally speaking, it's a lot lighter. It's a lot more jolly, you know, to use a holiday word. But that's okay. You know, it still keeps that Nightmare Before Christmas vibe. So, yeah, overall, I think it's cool. I like it. I like the fact that it's temporary. So, you know, part of the year we have Haunted Mansion Holiday. Part of the year we don't.
I give it 2 Sandy Claws up.
Okay. That's good. 2 Sandy Claws up. Yep. That's right. Okay, cool. All right, Julia, let's move into our news section, our news segment from Regions Beyond.
All right. So this month, I wanted to mention that on the Disney Parks blog, they have done pretty much since Shelter in Place started, they have created all of these different Disney paper parks activity sets that you could download and color and put together, and there's all different scenes from Disney parks that you can recreate in paper form. And in the month of October, they did a series of Happy Haunts, which are really cool. You basically just create 3D models of different parks attractions, and when you print it out, it's actually really cool because it also includes history behind the things that you're creating. So you get a little history as well. They did a 4-part Happy Haunts series, and each one had different Haunted Mansion elements. So in the first series, there was a lot of Haunted Mansion decorations. So you could create like your own bat stanchion. And they also had the hitchhiking ghosts, and I believe the Hatbox ghost was in there as well. In the second round, you could create a Doom Buggy snack box.
Wow.
In the third round, they actually had the entire Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion exterior that you could create. And cool. It looked really involved and intense. And if any of our listeners put it together, please tag us in your pictures on Instagram, because I would like to see what it looks like finished. And then also in the last one, they included different interior scenes. Like, you could do the seance room with Madame Leota. And it's just really cool. And it gives a lot of people just kind of a way to connect with the park at home while well, Disneyland is closed.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. So tell people how they can find this.
So if you go to DisneyParksBlog.com and search for Disney Paper Parks, you'll be able to find not just the Happy Haunts ones, but all of the ones that they've created. And they've done lots. There's several. I've seen people, I believe they did one for one of the parades, and you could create Main Street as well. I've seen a lot of people have a lot of fun with those on Instagram, which are pretty cool.
Super. Awesome. Okay. So that's a good one. And we're going to be talking about that that facade for the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion later on in this show. So super cool. All right, Julia, what's next?
All right. So next, I want to mention these were seen at Disney World. They are called No Touch Pulls, which, how do you describe this? It looks like a big key with like a hole that you can put your finger in. And I actually have one that I use at work all the time. But at Disney World, they have cool Disney ones. And Ooh. Included is a Haunted Mansion wallpaper one. And they sell for $12.99. But these are cool in this day and age. So you can use it to touch screens instead of your finger. You can use it to open doors. You can use it at the gas station. It's just really cool, and just a way to keep yourself from touching things that a lot of other people are touching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so keep yourself safe.
I have one of these. Yeah, I have one of these too. Mine's just a piece of brass, mm-hmm. you know, like a metal. So are these made, what are they made out of?
I believe they are made of brass as well, but they are, they have like a coating on them. So there's four different designs. The purple eye wallpaper is one of them. So it's just like printed on top of the brass.
Sure. Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. Okay. And where do people find that?
At Disney World.
Okay. Is it for sale at on the Shop Disney yet or anything like that?
I have not seen it on the Shop Disney yet.
Okay. Wouldn't be surprised if it makes it there, but not yet. Okay. All right. Cool. What's next?
All right. And now that we are past Halloween, we're getting towards December. I'm sure you're all shopping for your advent calendar. And there is a very beautiful one that came out this year. It's Nightmare Before Christmas, and it's also a pop-up book. So you open it up, and this big paper tree comes out, and each one of the boxes has a different ornament that you pull out each day for the advent calendar.
I love this. I've actually seen this pop-up calendar. It's pretty cool. It looks like a book, you know, like a big book when you open it, but then you open it up flat and the big tree pops out, and it actually does have a book in there. I don't know. I think it's about 30 pages. It's a little book that tells the whole story of the movie, and it talks about each of the characters that is in the advent calendar itself. And then each of the characters is a little, kind of like a little cardboard ornament for the tree. But they have a little glaze on them. It's very pretty. The whole thing is, really kind of pretty. They say you can use it for a centerpiece, you know, if you put it in the corner on a table or something. And I can imagine you could leave it setting up. It's attractive enough. And the base has really cool illustration of all the characters of the Haunted Mansion. I mean, of the Nightmare Before Christmas, all surrounding the Christmas tree. Super cool advent calendar. So I'm glad you mentioned that. It's from Insight Editions. Awesome. So if you, there's a lot of, I think Nightmare Before Christmas has had a number of different advent things mm-hmm. and calendars and things. But if you look for Nightmare Before Christmas pop-up advent calendar and in type in Insight Editions if you're on Amazon or something, I think it'll come right up.
Yeah, and that retails for $40.
Cool. I like your brief but important roundup this month. I mean, those things are all very good, especially like I kind of forgot about the Disney paper parks. I was following that for a while, and then, you know, October got very busy with mm-hmm. lots of Haunted Mansion news and, you know, merch and stuff, and I'm glad you remembered to throw that in there, because that kind of thing is really super cool. And yes, we do want to see your models. If you put together any of the Haunted Mansion things and, you know, color them in and make displays, we would love to see them. Just tag us on Instagram so we can you know, share you on our page, and that would be super cool.
Awesome.
Remain seated, please. Doom Buggies will be right back.
From author Jeff Baim, founder of DoomBuggies.com, the unauthorized story of Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion, the number one Amazon bestseller that acclaimed director Guillermo del Toro has called enchanting and mesmerizing. Read insider accounts of creative clashes and never-before-told stories about the history of the greatest haunted attraction ever built. DwarfandGiant.com raves that this book is full of arcane knowledge. The unauthorized story of Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion. Available now from Amazon.com or visit DoomBuggies.com/book and order your copy today.
All right, Julia. Well, you know, this is episode 25 of the Doom Buggies podcast. Amazing, right? 25 episodes. And this month's episode, which is, of course, very strategically placed on a Friday the 13th, is going to be actually part two of an episode we did a couple months ago talking about the architecture of the Haunted Mansion. So you know, there's all kinds of stories behind, you know, why Walt Disney might have wanted a certain kind of, you know, building in his park, a certain kind of haunted abode. And we talked about that, you know, on the last episode that we talked about this architecture. But we're going to get a little more specific about what actually happened in the park this episode, give you a little bit of history about what you actually see in both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, because there's some interesting stories behind why these things look the way they do. And, you know, some of it is, you know, it's it's kind of difficult to piece together, I guess I would say, the chronology of how all these designs came together. But one thing that they do have in common, you know, the design of the Anaheim Haunted Mansion and the design of the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion, one thing they have in common is this one book that was published in 1950. So I thought I would talk about that a minute, and maybe we can go from there. So, you know, the Walt Disney Studios library had lots of books, design books. They had magazine subscriptions, you know, to architecture magazines, design, art magazines. You know, it was a place for the Imagineers to go and either get reference material or inspirational material or, you know, various books about, you know, art and design. And one of the books was a reference catalog to Victorian art and architecture, The Decorative Arts of Victoria's Era by Francis Licton. Okay, and it was a book that Ken Anderson had found in the Wed Library, and he was going through it, you know, and he found this picture of this house, and it was, you know, so they kind of, you remember we talked about last week, or the last time we talked about the architecture, you know, Walt wanted this haunted house, and at first, you know, Ken Anderson, who was working on this, had, you know, thought it would be a rundown kind of vacant house out in the bayou. Like, they kind of knew it would be New Orleans, maybe pirates, you know, maybe a pirate's ghost family, maybe other haunts would be there, but, you know, he thought it would be this decrepit place, right? And Walt Disney famously said, well, no, let's keep it neat and trim to look like it belongs in Disneyland. So Ken was like, had to go out and look for, you know, figure out what is this going to look like. So he's looking in this catalog of Victorian art and architecture because I think he felt like, well, you know, he had in his mind this kind of spooky old shutters falling off house. And if that's not what Walt wanted, you know, he had to kind of figure out, well, what does Walt want? So he's looking through for Victorian mansions, and he found one. It was actually located in Baltimore, Maryland. So it's not anywhere near New Orleans, you know, but it still, it works as this kind of, you know, plantation mansion, even though it's, you know, it's not. It has lots of fancy iron grill work, which would, you know, seemed to be suited towards a house in Louisiana, in the New Orleans area. So that would seem to kind of work, but it is actually from Baltimore, right? So it's interesting, you know, how this came to be. You know, when Ken Anderson started drawing his famous pictures of the Haunted Mansion, some of them that Disney still uses to this day, you know, he sketched one, and then Imagineer Sam McKim painted over it to give it some color and, you know, make it lively, and then they showed this to Walt. Of course, at that time, they still painted it like it was in the bayou with, you know, all these trees, overgrown trees, and kind of like it was a haunted house, right? And Walt Disney, he looked at that picture, and that's the one where he famously said, like, well, I like it, but let's keep the ghosts inside, not outside. So they went with the same look. And it's interesting, you know, you can look at this painting and the sketch that Ken Anderson did and Sam McKim did, and it's exactly from the book, from the photograph of the book. The perspective is the same. You know, everything is the same. You know, Ken basically copied this house right out of this book, and it became what we know as the Haunted Mansion with very little change. I mean, there was very little different conceptual work done from this photograph to what exists as the Haunted Mansion. So that's kind of interesting. Walt Disney, you know, while this all was happening with Disneyland being developed, and I think even after Disneyland had opened, or right before Disneyland opened, you know, Walt was always visiting other parks. Famously, he went to Tivoli Gardens in Europe, and he was getting the idea that Disneyland he wanted it to be lush and floral and trim and beautiful. And so, you know, this kind of dilapidated, swampy building just didn't really work. So, but this mansion, and it's called the Shipley Lydecker House, is what it ended up being called in Baltimore. So this house, it kind of fit the bill of switching back and forth between, it could look spooky and gothic, but it also could look very neat and very put together, like it does at Disneyland, right? So that's what Ken Anderson did. That's what he found, and that's what the Haunted Mansion became. What do you think of this Haunted Mansion, the look of the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, Julia?
I think I said it in the last episode when we were talking about it, that I really enjoy Walt Disney's whole premise that it stays nice and neat on the outside and then just decrepit and decayed on the inside. Like, I think that's such a cool idea on how to take it, because looking from the outside, it doesn't look like a haunted mansion, like what you would think of being, like, basically when I think of a haunted mansion, I would think of, like, the house on the hill behind the Bates Motel. Like,
yeah,
could there be anything creepier than that?
Yeah.
So that's probably why, as a kid, like, I was never scared to go on the haunted mansion, because it just didn't look scary outside.
Yeah. And that definitely adds mystery to it, right? Because, you know, you hear it's supposed to be a haunted mansion. They call it the haunted mansion, but it just looks like this, you know, stately house, right? Yeah. So that's actually really, really good. It's insightful. So, you know, and it looks like it belongs in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Like, it fits the theme of New Orleans Square. You know, it's this white, kind of white mansion. It's captured in this turn of the century moment. There's fancy.
The wrought iron.
Yeah, exactly. Fancy French Quarter style wrought iron. And they keep painting it, you know, regularly painted. Mm-hmm. So the paint never is peeling or bad. So, you know, when they were originally designing it, I don't know that they knew for sure what colors they were going to, you know, they might have thought it could be a little bit more dramatically colored. Perhaps some of the buildings in New Orleans are that way. But I think they finally decided to keep it subdued, kind of a monochromatic cream and forest green color scheme. But, you know, so one of the Imagineers, John Hanch, wrote a book called Designing Disney. And he actually talked about the coloring of the Haunted Mansion, how they, even the painting, you know, it looks like it's this ordinary paint job, but he, you know, kind of makes the point that even the painting is designed to make the shadows deeper, the lighting more dramatic. So he says, in this book, Designing Disney, he says, "We wanted to create an imposing Southern style house that would look old but not in ruins. So we painted it off white with dark, cold blue gray accents in the shadows, you know, the shadowed areas such as the porch ceilings and the wrought iron details. And then to accentuate the eerie, deserted feeling, I had the underside of exterior details painted in the same dark color, creating exaggerated, unnaturally deep cast shadows. Since we associate shadows with things hidden or half hidden, the shadow treatment enhanced the structure's otherworldliness." Okay, so that's kind of the Disneyland Haunted Mansion architecture. That's more or less how it came to be, how Ken Anderson discovered it and how it was developed, and they colored it to look dramatic. And, you know, then that was built and it stood there at Disneyland unused for a number of years while they were still even designing what was going to go inside the Haunted Mansion, right? But while Disney World's Haunted Mansion, like, it's a different story, right? So Disneyland's Haunted Mansion maybe looks more like Walt's original personal idea for the haunted house, but the other two haunted mansions, so Walt Disney World in Tokyo, which is basically a copy of the Disney World Haunted Mansion, it's more like it really does look more closely like an ominous haunted, like a castle, right? Large, imposing brick facade. It's got heavier iron, and the landscaping is a little bit more overgrown, or, you know, it looks like it's a little bit thicker in this, coming out of these plants, right? So Disneyland's exterior relies on cast iron and the painting, but Walt Disney World is more like the age of a brick mansion, right? So they're different. They're very different, right? And it's interesting to think, would Walt have been okay with that? You know, it's not like all ghosted out or anything, but it definitely has more of an ominous look, right?
Yeah.
So Tony Baxter, you know, we've heard of Imagineer Tony Baxter. He's talked about this before, you know, when he's discussing the Haunted Mansion. He says the differences between the Southern plantation look at Disneyland and the colonial fortress of Florida, Flora's facade, is partly due to the architecture of where the things were. Because he said that, they did not want the Haunted Mansion at Walt Disney World to look so familiar, because Florida is in the South. So, you know, some of these Victorian houses, like the one that's at Disneyland, might have been just a little bit more common that out there, you know. So he thought the bigger, heavier brick mansion gives more of a distinction to the actual architecture that's common to the local populations, right? So, you know, the first idea here for the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion, you know, they knew it was going to be in Liberty Square, which was kind of New England area of the Magic Kingdom. So they thought, well, let's build this in what's called the federal style. So in New England in the 19th century, there were lots of big, you know, famous households and homes that were built in this style, that it's kind of a dramatic, stately kind of a home. Mm-hmm. And Herb Ryman actually painted some concept art for the Haunted Mansion, which actually, you know, people didn't even know. It was one of these discoveries that people made, like, oh, this is actually Haunted Mansion concept art, because he didn't paint it to look spooky or dark or night or anything like that. He was just painting these big gothic, well, not gothic, these like federal style homes, from around the 1890s, I suppose you could say. You know, people looked at these paintings, and I don't even think until recently that, well, maybe some people at WED knew, but, you know, we didn't really know that, oh, this is the Haunted Mansion. Now we know that he was actually doing some work for the Haunted Mansion. So, it turns out that's not really what WED was looking to do, though. It's possible that, Herb Ryman was still trying to do what Walt had said, you know, like, let's make a house that's neat and trim on the outside but spooky on the inside. And so it's possible that he tried to bridge the New England with that idea, but it seems that WED decided, no, let's just make it more imposing this time. Let's not keep it quite so light on the outside, but be a little bit more imposing. So the whole Federalist idea, that went by the wayside. Claude Coates was still responsible for the look and feel of the Haunted Mansions. He was the environmental, you know, the Imagineer that kind of was more responsible for environments and the settings of these attractions. And so it turns out that Claude Coates went to another a publication. So we talked about Ken Anderson and the Decorative Art of Victoria's Era. So Claude Coates went to the studio library, and they found this book called The Model Architect, right, which is by Samuel Sloan, an old turn of the century publication, you know, but they're looking for more of this idea, you know, of what would have been spooky and New England style kind of, you know, gothic architecture that could have been something that would be appropriate for a haunted house. So I'm going to read a quote out of the book that is likely to have had some influence on this. So this is from Sloan's book. So he says, a perpendicular or florid style, a characteristic of this is found in the window. So the arch is depressed with mullions that were continued perpendicularly upwards and crossed by transoms. So that's a lot like what you see on the Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World. Back to Sloan. He says, indeed, throughout, there was a tendency towards vertical lines and a great increase of decoration. Every part of the structure, inside and out, was loaded with rich carvings, cut with great depth, minuteness, delicacy, but very abundant as to give the whole thing a meretricious effect, and hence to cause the style to gradually be considered a decadency. So Sloan is talking about these details that you see, like vertical architecture with these very intricate details. And that seems to be something, I mean, there's evidence that Claude Coates used this resource, you know, as some of his research. He may have found that something of interest to himself when he was trying to figure this out. But whether you believe that was important to Claude Coates or not, the fact is that he went back to Licton's book, The Decorative Arts of Victoria's Era, and he found another illustration of this kind of a castle villa type of architecture. And that's really what is undoubtedly a major inspiration for the updated look of the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion. You've been on the Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World, too. So do you remember the different feelings between going into the Haunted Mansion at Walt Disney World and, you know, when you're walking into the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland?
The Disney World one has a lot more interaction in the queue, first of all.
Oh, yeah. So this is kind of fresh in your mind, but also, yeah, also different. So the Haunted Mansion at Disney World, of course, the architecture has always been the same, but they did add that very interactive queue fairly recently. Mm-hmm. when they did a big major update to the Haunted Mansion. But, you know, it's interesting, the actual mansion building that you walk into, it's, you know, you don't even go into really the front door. There is kind of a front door area, but you don't go in there. You kind of go in the side and then end up in this foyer, right? So it's interesting. It's a little different than the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland that you walk right in the front door. So, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about this picture that was in the Decorative Art of Victoria's Era, the book. It says, it's captioned in this way. It says, "Wealth commanded a castellated stone via with parapets, towers, and the lancet-shaped windows of genuine old castles." And those lancet-shaped windows are what we were talking about from the Sloane book, you know. So you figure Claude Coates is putting this all together and trying to figure out, like, what are we going to do for this, you know, haunted house? So actually, Foxfur, who is a blogger who writes the blog Passport to Dreams Old and New, and actually she just wrote a book that we're going to be talking about in the near future, another show. But so she came to some conclusions also about this. And so she says, this is what she says in her blog. She says, "In short, here was a great find, an architectural style not too far outside Liberty Square's era, which blended old world and new to better mix Liberty Square and Fantasyland, and which would harmonize with the high Victorian interior already designed." Because, of course, the Haunted Mansions, both of them have this Victorian interior, right? So they, of course, wanted the exterior to go with the interior. Foxy, she quotes Francis Lichten, who wrote The Decorative Art of Victoria's Era. And from that book, there's this quote. So it says, "In truth, the decaying structure conveys to the present day observer the same sense of horror and mystery that the medieval ruin conveyed to the popular mind. Lacking the patina which the mellowing touch of time and nature give to the ruins of the Middle Ages, the abandoned Victoria Gothic domicile, its shoddy fabric disintegrating before one's eyes, has today become the artistic and literary symbol of the haunted house." So you consider all this stuff, you put it all together, and it's almost unmistakable where these two architectural ideas came from. I mean, they both came from this book, you know, from 1950, called Decorative Art of Victoria's Era. And one thing that's pretty cool, I think, you can still get this book for a reasonable amount of money. It was published pretty widely when it came out, and there have been a number of printings of the book. So if you know, go to Amazon or you know, or even some other booksellers, used booksellers online, you can often find it for not too much money. If you're a Haunted Mansion fan, kind of deserves a place in your library, I think. It's called The Decorative Art of Victoria's Era by Francis Lichten, published in 1950. You know, if you're a hardcore Haunted Mansion fan, you might want to add a copy of this to your copy of this book to your library, because it really has a big part in the history of both Walt Disney World and the Disneyland Haunted Mansions. All right, so, you know, that kind of is the story. I mean, the very nutshell capsule, very shortened version, but that's kind of the story of the actual architecture of the two facades of the Haunted Mansions, both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Now, of course, like you mentioned, Julia, there's all kinds of bits of information that we can add to this, like the interactive queue at Walt Disney World and the plot of family tombstones outside of both Disneyland and the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansions, the pet cemeteries associated with both of the Haunted Mansions. And in fact, Disneyland even has two pet cemeteries associated with it. So there's all kinds of other details that we could get into and talk about. Maybe we will another time. But as far as the actual architecture of the buildings, yeah, you know, you look back at that catalog of Victorian art, and that pretty much is where it started and stopped, to some degree, at least. And did you like the interactive queue, Julia, at Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion?
I thought it was really cool, though the line moved fast enough that I really couldn't, like, interact with it too much. Plus, the kids that were in line were hogging it. So
I do feel like it's kind of for kids, right?
Kind of a kids thing.
It's interesting, you know, people's reaction to that runs really hot and cold. It's not a very specific era or style. It's kind of a decorative stone thing, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be more or less like a cemetery, I guess. You know, those are supposed to be memorials of some sort. So it's,
yeah, it looked more cartoony than kind of setting the stage for what was going to be happening in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, so people's opinion of that queue varies widely. Some people like it because it's something different. Mm-hmm. And like you said, kids like it because they can make sounds and do things. But a lot of people feel like it's disjointed, like it doesn't fit the theme of the architecture. It doesn't fit the theme of the attraction. and it just is kind of this weird individual little piece of entertainment that seems to kind of float somewhat aimlessly in there, right? So, yeah, I'm not sure. What I'm, you know, I've also only been to Disney World a couple times that with that in place, and once I kind of tried some of the things, and another time I just kind of skipped right by it. So, yeah, I don't have a super strong feeling about that either way. I probably would tend to, I mean, you know, I kind of am always a glass half full kind of guy. I feel like, well, you know, they put it in there to make the time or the queue a little more interesting when it's long, busy days. And, you know, I can imagine a lot of reasons why it exists. I might kind of tend towards the people that wish the whole thing was themed a little bit more carefully. But at the same time, I don't think it necessarily detracts from the Haunted Mansion itself, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, maybe another conversation for another tea time or another day. But that's the story of the architecture of the Haunted Mansion. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. But if you really need more in-depth information about Disneyland's Haunted Mansion, go to doombuggies.com/book.
Oh, thank you, Julia. That's right. Yeah, I do tell this story in a little bit more detail in my book, which is called The Unauthorized Story of Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion. And you can find that on Amazon, or you can just go to doombuggies.com/book. Thanks for that plug, Julia. Christmas is coming up. It's a great stocking stuffer.
Absolutely. Hint, hint.
Do you love everything Disney? Then tune into Mousestalgia, the podcast about Disneyland, Disney history, and Disney fandom that's been rated best by The Unofficial Guide. Whether you're looking for tips about visiting the parks or interviews with Disney celebrities, you'll find it all on the Mousestalgia podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or Player FM. And Carpe Kingdom, seize the magic.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Doom Buggies podcast. Thank you for joining me today, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure. And it's our pleasure to get to speak to all of you in your home. So thank you for your time. You can find us on Instagram at Instagram.com/Doom Buggies. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Twitter is Doom Buggies Web and Facebook is just Doom Buggies. And you know, join us on Instagram. You know, if you ever have Haunted Mansion pictures to share, you know, collectibles you've bought, things you've done related to the Haunted Mansion, or like Julia said, these paper parks projects, if you've, you know, done any of those and you want to share them with us, just tag Doom Buggies. We would love to see it, and maybe we'll share you on our story. So keep us in mind. We'd love to connect with you.
Absolutely. And so, thank you, before we leave, thank you everybody that tagged us in your Haunted Mansion Halloween photos. And if you haven't gotten your sticker pack yet, just be patient. It's coming. Promise.
That's right. Just hang in there. It's coming. That's right. You can always reach us at 1-888-5-HATBOX. If you want to make a phone call, just call us. It's toll free. We'll pay the dime. So 1-888-5-HATBOX. If you want to leave us a message, we might play it on the air. Or if you just want to, you know, check in and give us your thoughts. You can email us at comments@doombuggies.com. And I guess that's it. So we will see you next month on the 13th, December 13th. That sounds like a spooky cold time of the year. So look forward to talking to you then. And I guess the last thing to say is,
hurry back.
See you next month.
Bye.
Oh, there you are. Should you decide to establish contact, please email comments@doombuggies.com or call us toll-free at 1-888-5-HATBOX. On behalf of your host, I'm Emmanuel Menjivar, and we hope you will hurry back.
The Doom Buggies podcast is produced by Julia Lane and Jeff Bam, and mixed by Jeff Bam. Grim Grinning Ghosts arranged and performed by Kristen Pfeiffer. Other music is performed and used courtesy of Sideshow Sound Theater. Copyright Doombuggies.com.